Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. This is July 18th, 2023. We skipped because of Independence Day 2 weeks ago, but we're back. And with me...
Oh, it's me, Patrick Barrett. Hi, guys.
the other guy here. It's true. I have co-hosted shows with a number of people over the years, not only in the Cambridge Inside Out context, where you have very much been ably serving in that role these days, and I thank you for it.
No problem.
And obviously Judy Nathans did it for a good long while. And prior to that, Susanna Sagat, right? Who did a very laudable job, you know, had a lot more political connections than I ever did, actually. She was really quite good for that. But I also want to remind people in sort of the long view, which was that, you know, there used to be another Cambridge Inside Out long ago that was really done almost like McLaughlin Group style, that was really created by Glenn Kuchar. And amongst the panelists on that show were Marty Foster, Tom Rafferty, former Mayor Barbara Ackerman, and Sondra Graham. And I thought it would be appropriate to, and I also co-hosted a program on the municipal station. I think we were supposed to do three, but we got cut short. And we only ended up doing one. This was maybe about, I don't know, actually 10 years ago, something like that, maybe even more. And it was Sondra Graham, one other gentleman, and myself. So Sondra Graham passed away recently, which was sort of a big moment. And I thought it was, I didn't go to the wake. They actually had a wake at City Hall in the Sullivan Chamber, which is, I think, as Sondra wanted it to be. But the interesting thing was that the following morning, there was a funeral service at Memorial Church in Harvard Yard. And what makes that kind of amazing, and it was really great. And I have to say, my, you know, tip of the hat to people such as Ken Reeves, Marjorie Decker, and really everybody who spoke there, because they really made it a memorable event. But one of the sort of interesting little sort of arc of history aspects of it was that Sondra Graham's former city councilor, Sondra Graham, former state representative, Sondra Graham, her first entree into sort of activism in politics was when Harvard University was sort of encroaching into the Riverside neighborhood, and they were trying to reach the Harvard Board of Overseers, and getting no success whatsoever. So she basically got fed up, this 4'11", 27-year-old woman from Riverside, and then went there with a group of people and busted up the 1970 Harvard commencement. Took it over, grabbed the microphones. When the president of Harvard tried to take it back, he said, "You take that microphone, I'll punch you in the nose." Anyway, I thought it was a class act that Tom Lucy and Harvard University contacted her family and offered Memorial Church for this funeral service for Sondra Graham, because the commencement takes place on the steps right outside Memorial Church. So I thought this was actually a beautiful story coming full circle, and sort of showing, you know, it's, you know, over 50 years to be sure, but the same university whose commencement was being broken up by Sondra Graham offered basically to host her funeral. And I thought that was a absolutely class act on the part of Tom Lucy and Harvard University and all parties involved. So anyway,
Tom is a class act.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought that was a memorable thing. I think sometimes, especially these days, since we don't really have a Cambridge Chronicle or anything, the passing of sort of significant figures in Cambridge history, certainly recent history, is often skipped, you know, like the death of Alice Wolfe not so long ago, the death of Sheila Russell, there was really nothing, you know, so if you were looking through the historical record of significant passings, we're in a rather bad vacuum of the situation right now, where, you know, all you're getting is sort of like hit or miss type of coverage for things that are really significant and important, in my view. So anyway, so Patrick, how are you?
You know, I'm doing great this summer. Actually, I've got a lot of extracurricular activities. I've decided that I'm not going to run for city council. much to the happiness of my family. Although we do have an interesting race afoot,
Mr. Winters. That indeed we do. And I have to say, you know, like in the spirit of full disclosure, you know, is that though, you know, some people think this is a wonderful outcome, some people think I'm nuts for doing it. I did indeed throw my hat in the ring.
It can also be both.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But I, you know what, and again, the purpose of this program is not to sort of promote me really, but the thing is that it's worth noting that, you know, as we were heading into this year, you know, we had things like the review of the Cambridge Charter on the horizon. And I wasn't the only one who was a little concerned that that might head down a wrong track.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there are more than a few people who are already planning to, you know, sort of do something to sort of emphasize that topic because it's pretty important. The other thing is there were multiple vacancies, and I can certainly say that there were people sort of shaking the bushes all around town, asking people, "Would you be interested in being a candidate? Would you be interested?" And they weren't getting too many fish on the line, you know. Quite honestly,
we don't seem to get a strong talent pool. And we don't have a strong bench. And as when I say we, I mean the city of Cambridge. And what winds up happening, as you well know, Robert, activists are the primary go-tos for council runs. And whether you're an aggrieved member of a neighborhood group is usually a good launch pad for you. Right now in particular, we're in a moment where this last session of the council, I'd say, has probably been the worst in history. At least my short history of being here, only 15 years. And I think people are alarmed at the power grab by the council, I think, is the biggest sort of eye opener to some. We've got 9 individual state legislators. When I like to go after the council, I like to go after them as a group, so I won't omit names, but it's just been rough. And as a person looking from the outside in, I have to say I really wanted to run myself, just because I think, like you, something has to be done.
Well, you know, the way I've been sizing it up for a while is that, and I'll agree with you about this, is that, you know, since I've been following things for a good long time, I do remember a time where I looked upon the elected officials on both the school committee as well as the city council as literally as representatives. So that your job, as it were, is to simply represent the people in the city, or at least the people who were chiefly responsible for your election, right? But there's been kind of a trend in recent years of where representatives have been replaced by activists. Mm-hmm. So, and what I'd call small D Democrats, meaning people who just believe in listening and in responding in a good democratic tradition, you know, have been replaced by so-called progressives, who basically think they know all the answers, and then they're just going to do it and let the people catch up to them. And I think that's become a real problem, because not that I'm saying people shouldn't sort of be forward-looking at all, but the thing is that getting ahead of the people of the city is not particularly a wise idea, whether it's having to do with either some of the energy related matters or transportation related matters. It's like, yeah, sure, if you've got a good idea, pursue a good idea, but check in with the people. It's not a bad idea, you know.
Not a bad idea indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, sort of in that spirit, I thought maybe it would be appropriate, and I'm gonna do the old shared screen here, just to sort of talk through about, you know, who's in, who isn't here. We can also talk a little, if you wish, about, you know, some of these sort of odd controversies that have been emerging in the last few days.
Oh, you know, I want to talk about that.
Okay, but just to sort of say the essential thing is just in order in which people pulled the papers. There was, you know, and the first day you could pull papers was July 3rd. So the first person to pull papers was Joe McGurk, who ran 2 years ago. Then our current mayor, Sumbul Siddiqui. By the way, for those who are seeing this on the screen, I have in bold the ones who have now turned in sufficient signatures to have made it to the ballot, right? Everybody else still collecting signatures. So it's Joe McGurk, then Sumbul Siddiqui, Aisha Wilson, who's currently on the school committee, as everybody knew was going to happen, declared for city council. Mark McGovern also seeking re-election to this Cambridge City Council. A gentleman named Vernon Walker, or the Reverend Vernon Walker, from 165 Main Street, has pulled papers, so he's in the mix. Joan Pickett, who was former president of the Mid-Cambridge Neighborhood Association, has been actively involved in raising the issue about some of the bicycle infrastructure that's rolling out. So she's pulled papers to run. Dan Totten, who is was the city council aide for city councilor Quentin Zondervan, pulled papers. Again, that also has been expected for 6 months. Somebody named Aya Al-Zubi, who was living on Inman Street, but then moved over to Dodge Street, pulled papers. So she'll be a candidate and has been turning in signatures. Then there's this sort of interesting fellow from 366 Broadway named Robert Winters, who decided to pull papers. And then Adrienne Klein, and there is a sort of an interesting story, who works out of the mayor's office as, I guess the title is Director of Constituent Services, has decided to be a candidate, which has created a little bit of a kerfuffle that we'll talk about in a second. James Williamson, who has run multiple times in the past.
Who is that? This new, young, fresh buck.
James, yes. and by the way, I would say something, because, you know, when I was a candidate 30 years ago, one of the nice things about being a candidate was that you actually got to know a lot of people who are also candidates. So, and the truth is that, you know, there is kind of a, almost like a community of people who've sort of made the leap to be candidates. And, you know, some of the people I met back in 1993 are actually really good friends to this day. So, and James Williamson, once upon a time, he and I were loggerheads, you know, we were screaming at each other. And now, you know, now we get along pretty well, I gotta say. There's Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, who was elected 4 years ago, but then was defeated 2 years ago, is running again. Then Patricia Nolan, who's an incumbent, is pulled papers. Greg Morey, everybody's favorite perennial candidate. Burhan Azim, who was elected 2 years ago, is running again. France Pierre, who's a sort of an odd duck in that he's also pulled papers for school committee. And I thought, well, he was going to pick one or the other, but what I heard today is it looks like he might want to run for both.
Play the odds, Robert, play the odds.
Play the odds, or odds are he'll be a feeder for somebody, but hey. Paul Toner, who's, you know, pretty good first term city councilor, has drawn a lot of attention. People are very much seeing him as the guy who listens. And they have been contributing in a healthy way, shall we say, to his campaign.
Yeah.
Much more so, like four to the tune of four times as much so as any other candidate. But of course, it's not the money that makes the candidate. But the thing is that a good candidate can certainly attract good money. Kathy Zusi, very actively involved in Cambridgeport, pulled papers as a candidate. I think she'll be a very serious candidate, actually. And, you know, I guess if I was Mark McGovern, I'm not going to be sitting here handicapping at all, but, you know, also running out of Cambridgeport Riverside area. So I would imagine there may be some, you know, competition for ballots there.
They're very lucky that I did not run. Let's just put it that way, Robert.
right. Anyway, I'll just finish that list here. So then it's, of course, Denise Simmons. The latest candidates who pulled papers just a few days ago was Carrie Pascarella, who is apparently related to the Pascarella family. I knew Frank Pascarella was a Cambridge police officer. So I believe that Pascarella family has some pretty strong roots in East Cambridge. So Carrie Pascarello lives on Upland Road, over more closer to North Cambridge area, or, you know, West Cambridge, North Cambridge area. And then Peter Hsu, who lives on Gore Street, who had actually filed paperwork with the Office of Campaign Political Finance several months ago. And then I was just waiting for him to show up and pull papers. So he finally showed up and pulled papers. So anyway, that's on the city council. I'm going to pause a little bit here, talk a little bit about this here. And then we can also talk about the school committee. which I think is an important thing to talk about. Oftentimes the school committee is sort of the forgotten stepchild of Cambridge elections.
If you're a parent like me, the school committee is something you pay much more attention to than even the city council. And I think because the mayor is also the head of the school committee, I think it's an important thing to think about in terms of who you're picking for the city council. As I have very, very, very strong feelings about that. But please.
Okay. Right. But no, I'm serious. So that it is pretty common when voters vote in November, they hand you two ballots, you know, one for city council, one for school committee. And oftentimes they just turn the school committee in blank because they don't, you know, if your only interest is like, you know, getting better rent for the apartments or bicycle stuff or whatever, and you don't have children, for example, in the public schools, you go, I don't know who these people are, you know. But anyway, it's a sort of unfortunate, because if people are just going to vote randomly for that, it's kind of an important thing. So
We have at least one good school committee candidate in Eugenia, which I'm excited about. But let's do city council first.
Yeah. So there's some interesting potential conflicts here. I'll sort of want to address two of them, right? But the first one is, just a few days ago, and this has now been covered in Cambridge Day as well as in the Boston Globe, a very substantial article in the Boston Globe. So what happened was that the city manager issued a directive last Thursday that basically said that that there was for a person, there are certain city employees who, by virtue of the positions that they hold, once they pull papers to run for city council, for example, that being the case here, then there is an inherent conflict of interest between that role as a candidate and their role in the city employ, so that therefore they would be asked to resign or to ask for an extended leave of absence, for the duration of the campaign. All right. Now, Mr. Barrett, I ask you, what was your impression of this ruling from the manager?
So I have long been a voice, especially because the charter review thing has been going on, about city council aides, and city council aides in particular, how they sort of cross a line. Oftentimes either campaigning for their counselor or doing other political activities that otherwise are forbidden. Conflict of interest is something that is often cited by the council counselors themselves when it comes to raising money. So I am a what's good for the goose is good for the gander kind of mentality, in that this particular issue with the woman who worked for Sumble, she's been in that position of constituent service, which I always found kind of an interesting title to carry, because I feel as though if you're a city councilor, constituent services is your job, not something you want to pass off to somebody else. But I think that is a hallmark of the sort of Siddiqui mayorship, passing the buck, as it were. I also think it's kind of interesting that given the declaration from the manager, and the Boston Globe story also seemed to suggest that it was Mayor Siddiqui who brought it to the attention of the manager, perhaps looking for the manager to step in and take some kind of action instead of the mayor herself either terminating her employee or putting her on notice. Again, very on brand for the Siddiqui mayorship. I think it's, you know, for the general public who doesn't really engage in this, we don't want our elections to be a joke. We don't want our elections to be this sort of small town insider game. And I think if you're going to have a rule, one, the counselors are the first ones that should be enforcing it. If they have their aides or their employees, they should be stepping forward and saying no. Because these are also the first people in line who accuse evil developers like me, or either we're donating money, or $100 that I gave to so-and-so is going to somehow corrupt their mind and allow me to build a missile silo in Central Square. And it's, if it works that way, it has to work the other way too, in my opinion. So in this particular instance with Mayor Siddiqui's employee, she should have fired her, or at least put her on notice. And she didn't do that. She's not the, this woman who works for Sunbelt is not the only person who works for city government who's also crossed those lines. So I think like having a nice transparent conversation about that is maybe helpful. But if you're the average voter, are you going to know any of this, Robert? If you're like, if you accidentally came across a story in the Globe, you're like, oh my God, we have elections. So I think like, I don't believe in any of this conflict of interest stuff really melts the minds of people. I do think that once you're getting a paycheck from the city of Cambridge, that you should be holding yourself to a higher standard. I haven't seen that really happen, especially with council meetings.
Yeah, I'll chime in on this a little bit here too. Maybe it's as a candidate myself now, I have to sort of tread a little bit more
careful. Oh, I'm watching perhaps. You, buddy. I'm watching you.
Right. But, over 20 years ago, when they created the city council aide positions, I said, there is an inherent conflict in these positions. With a few exceptions, like Craig Kelly, when he hired actually two different aides, he resisted having an aide entirely for a while. But then when he did, he basically hired people based exclusively on credentials, and they were not doing political work for him, nor had they done political work for him in the past. And so he was a real stand-up guy about that.
I think Will Durbin, that's who you're referring to.
Hey, Will. And then the other fellow who followed him as well. I mean, I thought they were just top notch.
Really. Will was a class act through and through. I don't know his aide after that, but Will was always on the up and up.
Right. But the thing is there were people, up and down. I have witnessed people who were actually on the city payroll. Now, of course, what they'll say is, well, I was off the clock then. But what they were doing was actually acting on behalf of the campaigns, political campaigns, of the people for whom they were working.
Robert, set your face to stun and shocked. I, Patrick Barrett, citizen, have been threatened by city employees and council aides who've threatened to use the power of the city to do terrible things to me. Could you imagine?
I can imagine.
But
without getting into all the individuals here, but whether it's something as simple as holding signs for them or I've actually seen city council aides off the clock coordinating campaign events for their city councilors, and being involved in political endorsing organizations in extremely active ways, looking out for the political interests of the councilor for whom they are working, paid for by my tax dollars. And I have seen this going on now for really close to 20 years. So, whether this was the right decision or whether the timing was good or bad, I gotta tell you, I'm kind of impressed that the manager sort of did what he did. Mm. Now, was it the right thing? I don't know. But the thing is, it was kind of bold, and I thought maybe it needed to be bold. So,
I'm often accused of not taking this stuff too seriously, and I don't, because I don't take these people seriously. They're not serious people, and the games that they play, which are obvious and stupid and boring and exhausting to some degree. If you really care about the city of Cambridge, like we do, Robert, like at the end of the day, we care about this. That's why we're doing this. Be transparent, be honest. If you believe in something, stick to it. But all these self-righteous progressive types who claim this mantle of moral high ground, they're just as terrible as you and me. maybe even worse.
I don't think they could possibly be worse than me. No. Anyway, let me tell you, because we got about 3 minutes just in this before we'll take a break, but we will be back. I'll just say briefly about one other kind of potential conflict that was mentioned to me. People, because I've been writing about civic affairs and things and hosting the candidate pages, which I will admit, there's a little bit of an issue I have to work out on that one right now. That people say, well, how can you be both a reporter or a journalist as well as a candidate? And I think it's kind of funny. I posted something the other day, I raised the question, do you know who Senate Park is named after? And the answer is it was named after Ned Sennett, or Edward J. Sennett, who was in fact a city councilor at large for quite a few years, and he was quite popular. And he was also the publisher of the Cambridge Recorder, which was a weekly publication covering civic and political affairs in Cambridge, right? And I also will say he just as a sort of a kind of an odd biographical, just an amazing coincidence, is that he actually died on election eve, and I wouldn't encourage that to happen to anybody, of course. And he took sick in a barbershop, which was two doors from me. And he was taken to the home of his brother, who was a physician up at 384 Broadway. And that's where he passed away. But you know where he lived at the time, this city councilor and reporter? He lived at 366 Broadway. He lived exactly where I live.
Oh my God. So
I thought to myself,
you've come full circle, Robert.
Well, except that I'm hopefully not going to pass away on election eve.
I hope whoever's ever making those comments or ever brought that to your attention holds themselves to such a high standard too. I hope that they are not engaged in any activities at City Hall that might require interventions. I hope that's not something that's happening.
Well, anyway, Bob, we're under a minute here, but I just sort of say is that the way the charter was laid out, back in 1938, really all the city charters that preceded them as well, is that city council position was never, ever supposed to be viewed as a full-time profession, a career move, whatever. It was something you did in addition to what you do.
It's service, Robert. It's service.
Right. And that's the way I look at it too. And I'll just say that, and again, I'm not touting my own candidacy, but if I were to end up being elected, I will continue to teach my mathematics classes. So tough. Anyway, we should wind it down here. We're under 10 seconds. So anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes. I'd like to start off, maybe talk a little bit about the school committee. We'll be back in a few on Cambridge Inside Out.